listening to Step Up Nigeria's podcast. Enjoy the show.
We're glad to have you listening to us again today. This is Step Up Nigeria's podcast, and we hope that by listening to this, we would help to improve citizens' understanding of good governance and create awareness for the issues that are plaguing our society, so that we can all help to build a society with people of integrity. My name is Oluwafemi Adeola, and this podcast today is titled The 2019 Elections: What Presidential Aspirants Intend to Do About Corruption and What Nigerian Youth Expect from Them. And I am joined by two vibrant Nigerian youth here today. They are...
My name is Ijaopo Ibukoluwa.
And my name is Chukwunomso Okeke.
And they will be my partners for the discussion today. So let's get into it. There's been a lot of discussion around the upcoming 2019 elections, as you both may know. And media, CSOs, government, citizens have all had a lot to say about these elections, and tackling corruption has been one of the things at the forefront of many of these conversations. So today I hope we'll be discussing what the leading candidates in the presidential race have had to say about what they're going to do to tackle corruption. And we'll compare that with the results of our interactions with other Nigerian youth on what they expect the emerging government in 2019 to do about corruption. And so I'll go first. I've, in a little of my research, I've seen that, you know, President Muhammadu Buhari, one of the aspirants for that position, has started talking about what he calls a special anti-corruption tribunal. And the president said that he will set up a tribunal that is specifically supposed to deal with corrupt matters, that it will have no other job but to deal with sanctions for issues of corruption, and that they will be given all the time and evidence they need to carry out their duties, including information such as bank balances of public officials and properties owned by them, so that they can watch and control and follow up these things, so that it'll be easy to prosecute people who have been caught to have proceeds from corrupt activities. Donald Duke is also someone else that caught my attention, and I really love how he explained what he intends to do, because he says, you know, corruption has two angles, and those are the two angles he will hope to tackle. One is the corruption of need, which he expresses to be the corruption that stems from poor remuneration. That is, people in Nigeria who, at different cadres of society, do not have enough money to make ends meet, are forced in situations where they have to take benefits, take other monies, take bribes, take other things to supplement their income, to take care of their families. And he said that's one thing he hopes to tackle by producing more jobs and opportunities to get people earning income that makes them comfortable. And the other point he said was the corruption of greed, which is the corruption we more popularly know as people who already have more than they need but still embezzle. And he hopes that if he becomes president, he will be able to tackle what he calls a corruption of placement. So people who he knows are over okay in that sense, you know, that he will not put such people in places of authority. So what have you encountered in your research about the aspirants for 2019?
Well, in my research, and I particularly focused on Omoyele Sowore, and he said quite a few things that actually really stood out to me. One of which was, he said, you know, that the reason why corruption thrives so much is due to the weak and ineffective anti-corruption institutions in the country. So he's first of all come to expose how corruption thrives in the country, but then he's also said that he's going to try to revamp the system completely to make it more comparable to the anti-corruption institutions in overseas countries. And his main focus is consequences. Consequences and severe consequences, as he said. Because he says that these are the only way to curb corruption, and that there has to be revolutionary justice against corrupt public officers. But what really stood out to me, though, is that he says that the corrupt public officers aren't just those who are currently on seat, but he also says that he would find a way, or he would actually promote the prosecution of corrupt past leaders, as was done in Rwanda. And I find that so interesting, because we know Nigeria's history of corruption, and it always seems that the leaders who are corrupt finish their terms and then they leave office, maybe to go into other positions and continue their corruption. But because they seem to step out of the spotlight, we don't tend to pay much attention to them. But his own way of tackling it is to show that even if your term is done, if you have any record of corruption against your name, you will eventually come to justice. And that is so important to me, because not only does it promote that accountability But it shows that, one, Nigeria is serious about tackling corruption, and two, that no one is safe, no matter how long ago you did it or how you tried to hide it or any of that. And now, the really interesting angle that he comes from, which I personally am really interested in, is he wants to use technology to fight and prevent corruption. And he is promoting the use of e-payments, as well as fingerprint scanners, facial recognition software, so as to catch people who, like, maybe using ghost workers, or, you know, the people who might set up a company saying that so many people work here, whereas they're the only ones who actually, and then they collect all the revenues that's attributed to them. So if he sets up the software and whoever is going to collect payment for whatever reason, they're
public officials.
Exactly. And he's, I think these are all such intelligent and radical ways of tackling corruption, because so a lot of it isn't just the basic ways of doing it, but thinking outside the box and thinking of ways that Nigeria can develop and then tackle corruption without having to deal with the regular hurdles or any of that.
Okay, thank you. Anibuko?
Thank you very much, Feromi. I particularly was interested in Feladro Toye. He's one of the presidential aspirants under the Alliance for New Nigeria Party. And one thing that stood out for me in his manifesto was that he aims to make Nigeria surpass Botswana as the least corrupt country in Africa during his 4 years in office. So it means that even if he's running for the first term, for two terms, in his first term already, he would already do that. And how does he aim to do this? He's going to pursue and implement a comprehensive police reform. We all know that the police force in this country is, I don't want to use the word nothing to write about, but we need to do more. So that's one of, I'm sure that that won't be the only focus, but police reform is one of his main focus. And he will do this by providing support for state and community policing and creating a more motivated and professional police force. Because one of the main issue about the police force is that most of them are not motivated. They're not well paid for the job, that the risk that they actually provide for Nigeria. And then it will ensure a decent pay and train them. And another aspect that really caught my attention was that it promises to support the creation of state judiciary councils in all of the federating units, as well as establish state courts of appeal to enable states appoint their own judges and have control over the payment of their judicial officers. That sounds like a very big task though, but that would be really good if you can achieve. And then it will also accelerate court processes. We all know that this is one major issue in Nigeria. You take people to court,
draws out.
Yeah, it takes a very
takes all your money
time,
and all your time.
And even at the end of the day, there are so many court cases that we do not hear anything about anymore. Nobody is asking any question. So if that can be accelerated, that okay, they've taken this person to court today, we all know in the next 2 months, max, so and so will be declared and we'll know what penalty will be. So that would be really good if this can be done. And he says he hopes to automate court systems. That's, he didn't explain how that will work, but I'm actually looking forward to seeing that if he becomes the president of Nigeria. Okay. And then the other person that I also read about was Atiku Abubakar. That's PDP.
Yes.
And he's really focused on education, which I particularly like, because His idea is that it is only a good teacher that can produce a good graduate. So if you don't invest in education, you end up producing graduates that cannot stand. Yeah, exactly. So, and he also said something. He said you cannot have a local government counselor any more money than a lecturer, because this is what is happening at the moment, and the lecturers are not motivated, teachers are not motivated. So one of his plan is to devote 21% of the national budget to education.
Wow.
Which would be very interesting to see how that would change so many things in Nigeria. And also make sure that the education sector attracts only the best brain and not just, because we all know that those that go into teaching now are people that have been rejected in like other courses, quote unquote. So you would make sure that people by themselves actually choose to teach, because they will be well paid and there will be so many other benefits that will be attached to teaching in Nigeria. And he also mentioned about the fact that if he can reform the education system of Nigeria, a lot of people would not want to send their children abroad, and then that money that will be used to send their children abroad will be pumped back into the education sector, and then that would definitely increase the value and the quality of education in Nigeria. So those were the things that stood out.
That's interesting. I want to even ask you, you know, when he's talking about people who send their children abroad, you know, you would want to think a lot of them, those monies used to send them abroad are monies that are oftentimes illicitly acquired. And so if you bring that back home, then it's easier to even trace finances and things like that. So I see where he's going.
Yeah, and then another point was that it was going to end nepotism. We all know that that's one form of corruption that's eating deep into the public sector. So if that can be done, that would be really good as well. To ensure that only the right people are given jobs and not just because this person is my church member, is my family member, or because I know him from primary school, secondary school. So if that actually stops in Nigeria, that would be really good.
That's quite interesting. I also stumbled on two emerging new candidates in the race this year, Kingsley Moralu and Obi Ezekwesili, and they've had some interesting things to say. I particularly like what Kingsley Moralu has to say. His first point, you know, one of the things he said was that he would retire corrupt politicians that are in the system already to put an end to the era of waste and incompetence that has held Nigeria back from achieving its full potential. You know, there are a lot of redundant, corrupt people who only exist in the system to eat and to take from the money. Yeah, just to keep eating.
Yeah.
Not to serve, not to do anything but to eat. And he says if he's president, one of the things he's going to do is to sift these kind of people out of the system and then employ people who will do a better job. And then he complained about how Nigeria does not have a national worldview. And that how that's part of our problem. We have no national ideology, no framework, no worldview. So we have nothing that is bringing people together, nothing to combine our efforts or our groups and our thoughts. And yeah, he was saying no developed nation exists that does not have that common worldview that sets them apart. If it's peace, if it's democracy, if it's freedom, and Nigeria doesn't have one. And that if he's president, what he would work towards doing is creating a national worldview that would help to fight corruption in Nigeria. And he emphasized that because he said oftentimes in tackling corruption in Nigeria, what we do is, you know, rub the surface, just we're killing the leaves or the fruits of the problem and not the roots. And that, corruption is not the source of our problems. That the source of our problems is our faulty value systems, our faulty ideology, and that's why we have so much corruption. And so if we tackle the value system, the ideologies, then we'll be able to tackle corruption. And he also talked about how he would tackle the enabling environment and the policies that have allowed corruption to fester. And so the institutions and the systems that exist, that and the policies especially, the laws and the frameworks that have allowed corruption to persist for so long, that he will work with a panel that would work on making a better environment for Nigerians to progress. And he will kill whatever enabling environment exists that has allowed corruption to fester so long. And Dr. Obi actually said, and this is a point I think we don't speak about enough, and that's how corruption has to be tackled holistically. Youth often discuss one solution or another, but we're prone to remember that if we cut off one head of corruption, there are 600 others that are still festering, and we need to have a joint effort across board to tackle corruption always. And she believes that Nigeria can only get rid of intense systemic level of corruption when, you know, Nigerians are ready to put intense pressure on our government to implement the systems that would help to tackle corruption. And she believes a comprehensive approach that would include showing evidences of corruption in our society to people. So, you know, it's not just that there is corruption, but this bad road, this school, this bad healthcare. Yes, these things are the evidences of why there's corruption in our society, and that by doing that, we should be able to change the social norms aspect of corruption. And that if we enact preventive programs, things to prevent corruption, not just to ensure that, not just to attack them after they've occurred, And that we just need to reduce the opportunities for corruption. That, you know, she was saying, when the opportunity arises, when opportunity comes, so that how the opportunity exists and then the cost of corruption is very low. So the opportunities are high and the cost for doing it is very low. Then more often than not, many people are going to delve into corruption because the opportunity is there and there's really no sanction for it. And she also said, you know, how she really does believe that corruption in Nigeria is because we don't define the terms rightly. And she says things like conflict of interest.
I agree with that.
Yeah, and you know, an abuse of public office are terms that are not clearly stated. Because when you hear things like the Minister of Tourism put his brother or his wife's son or cousin or somebody as the accountant for his department, you wonder, do you not understand what a conflict of interest means? Or when you award a contract to your brother or your cousin's company because you have the discretionary power to do so, that's called abuse of public office. And that she'll make sure that it's posted everywhere and in most public offices so that it's clear. This is what abuse of power is, discretionary power is, and this is what a conflict of interest is, so that public officials are aware that this is a part of corruption.
Exactly.
Yeah, and you know, she said, because corruption has become such a cancer to Nigeria's development, one of the things we can do is to reverse the system of incentives that we have that permits bad behavior. And her point is, you know how we live in a country where they must incentivize you to do something that is good. Even if you're paid to do your job, there must be some added incentive. And she said this expecting something added to doing good, to doing just, to doing integrity, is part of the things that have fostered bad behavior in our communities, and that's one of the things we should be tackling. And then this is also quite funny because she spoke about the oil sector and how she believes the discretionary allocation of oil blocks is one of the things that has caused highest levels of corruption. And we don't even need to delve into the oil industry and the kind of things that we hear that go on there, but it's because the powers of petroleum dwell in one, two people's hands, and they have the discretionary power to allocate oil blocks to who they deem fit without any checks or second guessing or any approvals or any board. And because they can do that, that's why the Malabo oil scandal happened, and that's how it took place, because one man had the power to allocate an oil block to himself. And the last thing I'll say that caught my eye in checking what she spoke about is that she said, you know, wherever corruption is high, it's a society that you see a lot of decadence. And you know, we need to strengthen our justice administration, like Nomsu and Iwibuku have also rightly said that. We have to strengthen our justice system to the point where it can conclusively, and not just like take them to court, but like you've also said, conclusively convict people. So that when there are convictions, that will serve as a weapon of deterrence against other people who believe they can just engage in corrupt activities. So I will start with Ibuku this time. As a Nigerian youth, and from engaging with other youth, what do you expect whatever government emerged in 2019 to do to tackle corruption in Nigeria?
Yeah, I think I'll just restate your last statement again. Sanctions and ensuring that these sanctions are properly
enforced.
Mm. Exactly. Making sure that if a particular case is taken to court, it is seen through, the right judgment is passed, not influencing whatever the judge is supposed to say, or by ensuring that people do not bribe judges to in their own favor. Just seeing a case through and making sure that proper sanctions are enforced on corrupt practices or corrupt people.
And I like Ibuku's point. The key point there is seeing it through. It's not just starting it or arresting them or getting them to the EFCC, but ensuring that these convictions are seen through to the end. So thank you very much. Nonso?
Well, what I think personally is, because one of the things I think should be done is, you know, it's easy for everyone to just say, okay, when someone steals funds or when someone misappropriates or misdirects funds, I feel like the first thing we should do to tackle corruption is to go right to the source, right before any corruption happens, and to find a way to stop corruption before any activities ever take place. So if we can, like the old adage, prevention is better than cure. Mm-hmm. If we can find ways to prevent officials from actually engaging in corrupt activities, first of all, then that makes that makes the work of having to punish them later on or catch them makes it a lot easier.
Mm-hmm.
But then also, in the event that someone has been, you know, caught being corrupt, I believe, as you know, Shora said and other aspirants have said, they need to be punished severely.
Mm-hmm.
And because, but personally, I don't think corruption is just your everyday crime. It's not just regular petty theft or, you know, it is a betrayal of public trust, because these are elected officials who are put there to represent the people and to work in their best interest.
And people actually put you there.
Exactly. Yeah. So if you then end up in that position and you are stealing money from the very people who, like, we know about how poor the people are in this country. We know how people are suffering. We know how people don't have access to basic healthcare and things like that. And if you are taking the money that can help these people change their lives or save their lives in some instances, and you're diverting it into your personal accounts, I believe the sanctions should be much more severe than it would be for any regular crime. But then also, I think that the assets and the bank accounts of elected officials should be monitored constantly. Because this is one thing that was mentioned in the Code of Conduct Bureau, that when someone is running for office or when they're elected to office, they have to disclose all their financial details, the assets they own, what bank accounts they have in Nigeria and offshore. And these need to be monitored stringently, because whenever someone gets a contract to do something or they have the funds to invest in, let's say, roads or education or power, and they want to divert these funds to their personal account or wherever, if they're made to disclose everything and then these accounts are monitored stringently, then any alteration that is illicit or illegal will be immediately flagged, and then they would be accosted for it. So in that way, if you steal money, you get caught because your accounts are currently under surveillance, constantly rather under surveillance. So I think these three things are my suggestions.
Thank you, Nonso. I'm going to just reiterate some things that we've said so far, just like to conclude at this point. You know, one thing, and I think it was Ibukun's first point, about how poor remuneration is a serious problem. And for whatever government comes in 2019, that's my personal desire, is to review how public servants are being paid. If we speak humanly, at least in human terms, a man who has children to feed, a wife at home, school fees, and he has not been paid his salary for 4, 5, 6 months, or has been paid salary, but the salary is 10-20,000 naira, and that includes rent and feeding and water and all these other necessities. There's no light, so he has to pay for alternatives to light, no good healthcare, and he has all these problems with too little money or no money at all. And then he's offered a bribe. Speaking humanly, we would expect that, you know, that the government would be able to see to that, to ensure that each person is at least paid enough so that they will not have an excuse to say, oh, the reason why I'm corrupt is because I'm not paid enough.
Exactly.
And I think that's essential to do. And our procurement process is going something Dr. Ezekwesili said. Our procurement processes, we need to review them. You know, we need to make it, the processes of awarding a contract, more stringent, to put more eyes on it, to ensure that every procurement law is followed by the book, that no one is overpaid as an initial payment for a job, that a contractor has a guarantor and proof of work executed from start to finish, so that we don't just give money and waste money to people that are not going to complete procurement processes. And I also think, and I don't know which of the aspirants said this, but you know, effective recruitment processes, we need to revamp Nigeria's civil service, and that's the truth. There are people there who have no motivation and no desire to serve, that even if they were paid enough money not to collect bribes, would not have the desire or the interest. Yes, they just don't want to be there. They're only in the civil service because civil service allows them to have a side job or a business or something else, but not for that purpose. And I do believe we need to get people who are inefficient and who are old out of the system. And we complain there's so much youth unemployment. There are young people in Nigeria that we can pick out of the system, employ them on a basic salary. They don't have families or kids yet, so we're not talking about millions of naira here. Yeah. Yes. And so employ these people instead in the civil service who have brilliant ideas. Make the youth involved in the system. And if there are more youth in our civil service, I do believe that that's one of the things that would empower and strengthen our systems to fight corruption.
Just to add to that, I think that's very important, because if you think about it, most of the people who are most frustrated about the corruption in this country is the youth, because they're the ones who don't get the jobs, or if they get jobs, they aren't paid enough. So if they then get these positions where they can make change and they're actually allowed to revamp the system, they would be almost dead chomping, and they'll be desperate to just completely change the way Nigeria works. And I feel if they have these opportunities, change will come fast.
Yeah. And lastly, because we know that the root of Nigeria's problem is our value system, I do believe that whoever comes in 2019 needs to do something to build values of integrity throughout the nation, especially even at the primary and secondary level, to make anti-corruption education something that is entrenched in the system, that is necessary, so that Nigeria's youth grow up in a country, in a system where anti-corruption is sounded like a gong everywhere, so that the next time you think of doing something illicit or wrong, you remember everything you've been taught that has told you, if you do this, you are taking the whole nation's work backward.
Just to add to that, the imagery you gave of like a gong, it's, for me, it's not only, you know, if you are doing something corrupt, you remember what you've been taught. It's also other people. So if you're doing something corrupt and someone sees you, you know, instead of being silent and minding their own business, they actually then, you know, call you out on it, on take the steps that would actually stop that corruption. Because another problem is you see someone doing something that you know is not right, but you're either too caught up in your own thing, or you think this is none of my business anyway, so you just ignore it. So if we create a society where we are all our brother's keeper, but then we're also willing to, you know, expose whoever is doing something that hurts Nigeria.
Us as a body.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So.
Okay. And so, I guess, to sum up everything we've discussed today, what Nigerian youth really want is transparency and involvement. We want the government to be open. We want to see what's happening, and we want to be involved. Let's know how the processes are going. Let's know about your recruitment, your procurement. Let's know about the systems, everything.
Everything, basically.
Yes, and let's be aware and be involved in these processes. And I guess we're all hoping that 2019 will bring prosperity and peace and a new change for Nigeria. But to all our Nigerians out there, the truth is there must come a time when the people of Nigeria, which is all of us, will look at each other and will look at people around them and will look at themselves and the state of the nation at large at that time and say, this cannot continue to be our reality and we must do something to change this. And that's our admonition to the youth out there, that this is the time to say, we won't do this anymore.
Enough is enough.
Enough is enough.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening. Thank you.